Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 15. This evening we're going to look at the idea of the subject of keep on, keeping on. I think we've all heard that term, that we just need to kind of put our nose to the ground and just keep on keeping on. There's some things in these verses that I think we can draw from them and see that we need to just keep on doing, even when things are tough, even when things are not going the way we think they should, things of that nature. There's things in here that we need to just keep on doing. No matter what, we need to just keep doing these things. It'll keep us, it kind of leads to the victorious Christian life, kind of what Pastor was talking about this morning. So these are things that we need to just keep on doing. We need to just keep on keeping on in these things. So Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 15, you would just follow along with me this evening as I read. I'll read the passage and then I have a word of prayer to get into the message this evening. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. For remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being your adversary, as yourselves, rather, also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and that undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought in into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, is suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you guide my thoughts and guide my lips this evening. And if there's anything I'm planning on saying that you would have me not, I pray that I would pass over. And Lord, if there's something I'm not planning on saying that you would have me to say, Lord, that would be a help to the folks this evening. I pray that you would bring it to my mind. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to glean some things from this passage this evening that would help us to, or encourage us to keep on keeping on, Lord, just to keep our these things in order and keep on doing them no matter what comes into our lives, Lord, no matter what happens. I pray that you would bless the service, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, there are some things that I think we can learn from this passage, from these 15 verses. I have five of them. Some of them have some subpoints there, but we see that these five things that I think we need to just keep on doing no matter what happens in our lives, no matter if tough times come or if things are going easy or any whatever the case may be in our lives, I think these are things that we need to just keep on doing. These aren't contingent on the things around us. These are things that God would have us to do, God wants us to be doing, and we need to just determine to do them. So we see first, in the first four verses and into the part of verse 5, we see that we need to keep on loving. We need to keep on loving. Look at that first verse. Let brotherly love continue. We see that love is something that Christians ought to have for one another. Christ said that the way that the world would know we were his disciples was by the way that we loved one another. This brotherly love, we must see that our first love, the first love that we need to have is for God. Now, we love him because he first loved us, and I believe if we're going to love the brethren like we're supposed to, if we're going to love those around us and love the lost like we're supposed to, we must first have that love placed right in God and have that love for God and that true love desire to be close to God. But we see in this passage some things. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love the brethren. Let brotherly love continue. I'm afraid that too many folks today just want to come to church and be part of the church service and just not really care about loving one another. I think we can see that evident among the world. We see that the world doesn't want to love each other, although they say they love everyone and love is love, you know, love wins. They have all these sayings about love, but the fact of the matter is they even have those coexist bumper stickers that really have a bunch of people that are trying to kill each other stuck on a bumper sticker, but nonetheless, they say that they love each other and they want all these to be loving towards one another, but when you truly examine what they think and how they act, they don't love anyone. They hate, especially Christians, they hate unity, they hate all of these things that they preach and they promote. But I'm afraid that mindset is transferred over into the church. We say, well, kind of the us for no more mindset of, oh, well I love so-and-so and so-and-so, and we get along good, but well, you know, that person, well, we just don't see eye to eye on everything. There's just some differences there. But the fact of the matter is that as we grow closer to the Lord's return, things are going to wax worse and worse. We know that from multiple places in Scripture. And if the church isn't going to love the church, who is? The world isn't going to love the church. The Lord told the disciples that they hated me first. They're going to hate you, but know that they hated me first. It's a paraphrase, obviously. But if we as Christians don't love our fellow Christians, who is going to love us? Who's going to support us? Who's going to lift us up in prayer? Who's going to say, hey, I know you're going through something. I'm going to pray about that with you, or let me see how I can help you. But it says, let brotherly love continue. We need to love the brethren. We see in the next verse that we need to love strangers as well. It says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. How important it is for us to love strangers, to love the world, to love the lost. And when I say love the world, I don't mean love the world and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that world. I'm talking about the lost, talking about those in the world. How important it is for us to love them. How important it is for us to reach out our hand to help them and see if someone needs something and we have the ability to meet that need. The Bible talks about that. If we say, I see you don't have clothes, I see you don't have food, but basically I'll pray for you, but we have the ability to clothe them or to help them, then it's not any good for us to just pray for them if we can help them. And the fact of the matter is, how many times have we turned away these angels unawares and said, no, I don't have time to help them today. I can't help them. I can't be bothered with that. When the fact of the matter is, the Lord wants us to help them, to entertain strangers, and we could be helping an angel unawares, not knowing, but we can help them. We see that we need to keep loving strangers. We see that we need to love our families. We see that in verse number 4, marriage is honorable above all, and that undefiled. The truth of the matter is that there's so much hate and angst within families today. Once again, if we look at the world, we can see this blaringly obvious. We can see so much that there's problems within families and so many things that go along with that, and that transfers right over into the church. I've heard it said that so goes the home, so goes the church. As the church, the family gets more divided and more separated, then the church becomes that way as well, more divided, more pulled apart, and more separated. The saying continues, so goes the family, so goes the church, and so goes the world. I believe that we see the that illustration. I know Brother Nichols used it, I know pastors used it, I've used it in the past, that the world used to be in one spot and the church was in another spot, and as the world got farther away from God, the church kind of just we kept that same distance from the world, but now we're kind of where the church was. But I truly believe that I believe that the church kind of took the first step. And that we maybe not in getting away from God, but maybe we weren't reaching out to the world. We weren't doing as much outreach. We weren't witnessing as much as we should have been. We weren't trying to help them as much as we should have been. But we need to be loving our families, loving the brethren. Look at verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. I believe that speaks back to those points. Loving the brethren, loving God, loving our families, loving strangers. We need to keep on loving. We see that in verses 1 through 4. But next we see we need to keep on leaning. We see that in the end of verse number 5 and then in verse number 6. It says, for he hath said, the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Being content comes from trusting Christ. At the beginning of the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2 and verse 18, it says, for that in he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Being content comes from trusting Christ. He's gone through what we've gone through. He's suffered in what we've suffered in temptation and in trial and in all those different things. He has been there. He's someone who knows how it is, and he has been where we have been. And he is someone who says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We see that in the book of Matthew. We see that here again. He says that the Lord is my helper. We need to keep on leaning on the Lord. Too often we as Christians want to lean on something else. We want to look towards something else. This morning we sang the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What am I to dread? What am I to fear? I'm leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. But too many times we aren't safe and secure from those alarms because we're not leaning on Jesus. We're looking toward the world, and we're looking to something to satisfy our flesh, and we're looking towards those things to satisfy us, and we're leaning on those things instead of leaning on Christ. We need to keep on leaning, and when I say keep on leaning, I mean specifically keep on leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Friends and even family can't say that. Friends will let us down, and family will turn their back on us, and things will happen that will drive those relationships apart. But the fact of the matter is Christ will never leave us or forsake us. He's the one we need to be leaning on. We need to be leaning on Jesus. We need to be looking to him. When the things are going well, we need to be leaning on Christ. When we're in bad times and things aren't going well, we need to be leaning on Christ. When we're in times of uncertainty, we don't know what's going to be happening around the corner, we need to lean on Christ. But when we do think we know what's going to be coming, we still need to be leaning on Christ, because there's a good chance that if we think we have it all figured out, we've missed something. We need to be leaning on Christ. As we keep on loving him, we have that love for God, as I mentioned, that is the first most important priority, that highest love that we have is for God. I think it's not too hard for us to keep leaning on Christ, though. If we say, hey, I'm looking at Jesus, unto the author and finisher of our faith, as Hebrews 12 tells us, I'm looking unto Jesus, and I'm loving him, and I'm trying to do everything I can for him, then it's not hard for us to keep leaning on Jesus. We see that we need to keep on loving, we need to keep on leaning. In verse number 7, just a little bit of I feel that the author of Hebrews just kind of put this in here. It says, but what does it say? Remember them which have a rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We see that we need to keep on following biblical leadership. We keep on following leadership. Notice this. It says, consider them. Remember them which have the rule over you. It says, remember them, then consider the end of their conversation. We need to be mindful of them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth here. He says, be followers of me, even as I am also, or I also am of Christ. This is a very important thing. Too many times people have gotten sidetracked by looking just at a man and not looking at the direction they're going towards Christ. And then when something happens to that man, if they pass away or they fall away from the ministry or away from God, then these people who have been focused on him get so they don't know what to do. They find themselves stuck, and they say, well, who are we going to follow? What are we going to do? But the fact of the matter is, we as Christians can follow. We should have no problem looking towards a man of God as long as that man is following Christ. We shouldn't have any. There's a group that say you shouldn't, this idea of not having men that you look up to, and you shouldn't put a man in. And I do understand what they're saying when they say things like don't put a man on a pedestal. I completely agree with that. We shouldn't lift a man up, but there's nothing wrong with looking at a man and saying, hey, I can follow, I can learn something from him. There's nothing wrong with looking at your pastor or a seasoned Christian and saying, hey, I can learn something from them. They have something to offer me. And we shouldn't have a problem following them and looking to them, but we must remember that we're not just following them, we're following them as they follow Christ. Our goal needs to be to follow Christ and to get closer to Christ. Now, if there's a man or someone, a Christian, who can help us get closer to Christ, hey, I'm all for having them as a role model or something like that. But we need to make sure that we're following Christ. Too many are forsaking leaders and leadership for this modernist, humanist, feel-good-and-do-what-you-want Christianity. And that's kind of the problem. The reason that they're forsaking leadership and saying, oh, we shouldn't be focused on men, is because, not because this man has done anything wrong, not because the Christian they're talking about has done anything wrong, but because they're standing for something. They're standing for right, and they want more of a modern, a humanist, oh, we can just all love one another, and we can all just, which we do need to love one another. I was just talking about that a few minutes ago. But we can just, oh, we just need to be, God is love, and everything it just all revolves around how we can just, everything just feels good, and we can do whatever we want, but we're all children of God, and so they're not forsaking the leadership even so much as much as they're forsaking what the leadership stands for. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. They're saying, hey, they're walking away and saying, hey, we shouldn't follow men. We shouldn't put men up. We shouldn't lift men up because they don't like what that person's standing for. And I want to submit to you tonight that it's okay to follow leaders. It's okay to have those role models in your life, those Christian role models. It's okay to look up to a spiritual Christian, someone who's seasoned and been in the ministry or whatever. It's okay to look up to them, but make sure that the reason you're doing that is so that you can help, or they can help you, draw you closer to Christ. Not because you think they're something great and they're some super Christian that you're going to lift up and put on a pedestal and start worshiping them instead of God. No, but if you're looking to them for advice and looking to them for help and saying, hey, if I can do what they're doing in this area, then I'll get closer to Christ. I believe that's completely okay, and that's exactly what this verse is talking about. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Those that have gone before. It says, whose faith follow. Notice that. It says, whose faith follow. And what did Apostle Paul say? Be ye follower of me, even also as I am of Christ. As long as I'm following Christ, you can follow me. In Hebrews it says, whose faith follow. We need to make sure, as I said, that if we're looking up to someone or have someone who's a role model to us, that the goal is for us to get closer to Christ, to increase our faith. So we see that we can keep on following biblical leadership, we can keep on leaning on Christ, we can keep on loving the brethren, strangers, our families, loving God. Number four, I want you to notice that we need to keep on laboring. In verses 12 and 13, we see a picture here. It says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I believe this talks about when we're doing things for God, we're bearing the reproach of Christ. We already mentioned it just a moment ago, but what did the Lord tell the disciples? That, hey, if they hate you, know that they hated me first. If they don't like you, know that they didn't like me first. If they're offended at you, remember that they were offended by me first. And that's what it's talking about. We need to be bearing his reproach. We need to keep, but as we bear his reproach, we need to make sure that we're still doing things for him. And I submit also that when we are bearing his reproach, it's usually because we are doing something for him. Right. Listen, if you're just sitting back and not doing anything, just sitting in the easy chair of Christianity and just sitting there with your arms crossed and just watch kind of armchair quarterbacking Christianity, saying, oh, they need to be doing that and they should be doing that. Listen, the devil doesn't care. The devil doesn't care if you're not doing anything. The world doesn't care if you're not doing anything, but when you get up and you start passing out gospel tracts and inviting folks to church and witnessing, that's when the devil gets a little upset. That's when the devil tries to put things in your life to sidetrack you. That's when the world gets upset with you and says, hey, I don't want this, and they tear it up, throw it in your face, whatever they do. And that's when the world and the devil, that's when your flesh gets a little upset and says, hey, you don't need to get up on Saturday morning and go out soul winning. You don't need to get up early and make sure you're in Sunday school. You don't need to go to Wednesday night service after a long day of work. And then the flesh kind of starts telling you that, because when we're laboring for Christ, that's when we bear his reproach. When we're doing something for Christ, that's when the world is hating us. That's when the devil is trying to stop us. That's when the flesh is pulling against the spirit. When we're not doing anything, the flesh, when we get to sleep in on Sunday morning, we don't go to Sunday school, when we don't have to go to a Wednesday evening service, when we don't have to get up and pass out any tracts or anything, hey, the flesh is happy then. He gets to sleep in. He doesn't have to go out in the cold. Hey, when we don't do those things, that's when the devil's happy. No one's getting a gospel witness given to him. No one's coming to church. No one's doing anything for God. The world's not offended because you're not telling them they're doing wrong. All of those things. So we're not bearing his reproach. I think laboring for Christ and bearing the reproach of Christ go hand in hand. I think if you're not laboring for Christ, then you're not bearing his reproach. But this says here we're supposed to go without the camp and bear his reproach. And we need to be doing something for God. When we do something, as I said, that's when the world gets upset with us. That's when the devil gets really upset with us. And that's when our flesh wants to hold us back. So we need to make sure that we keep on laboring. We need to keep on bearing his reproach because he's given us a command. He's given us things we have to do. I think I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, this evening. We know what the Lord wants us to do. We know the things that he's told us to do, the things that we're supposed to do. Read our Bibles, pray, be in church, give, witness, be a gospel witness to people, help our brothers and sisters in Christ and help the needy. All of these things, we all know these things that we're supposed to be doing. God has given us these commands and we need to make sure that we're doing them. We need to make sure that we're being a gospel witness, that we're doing everything we can to get closer to Christ. We need to make sure that we're laboring for God. Because we're supposed to be bearing his reproach. And if we're going to be bearing his reproach, that means we're going to have to step on some toes, so to speak. We're going to have to get the devil upset with us. We're going to have to, the devil be mad at us because, hey, because we're being such a witness that people are coming to know Christ. We need to be such a witness that the world knows when they see us, oh, he's going to witness to me again. We need to be such a witness that our flesh knows, hey, he's going to get up and go, and he's going to read his Bible because he gets up early and does that, and he's going to be a witness when he's out. So the flesh doesn't even pull against the Spirit. They just know, hey, the flesh just knows, hey, there's nothing I can do about this. Do we need to be laboring? Keep on laboring. Because we need to go outside the camp. It'll take labor to continue, as I said. We must keep on serving and laboring if we're going to be bearing his reproach. So we see that we need to keep on loving. We need to keep on leaning on Christ. We need to keep on following biblical leadership. We need to keep on laboring for Christ. And we need to keep on lifting our voices to God. Look at verse number 15. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. In the temple or the tabernacle in the Old Testament. We know that there was multiple pieces of furniture. There's all these different things, and when they when they went in, they had to. There was the brazen altar that they offered a sacrifice on, and then they went in, cleansed themselves, and then they could go into the Holy of Holies, the holy place rather. And they could go in, and in there was the golden candlestick, and then the table of showbread, and there was an altar of incense there. And this idea of offer the sacrifice of praise. Is very much akin to that idea of the altar of incense. They've already passed the brazen altar. That was where they offered the sacrifice to cover sin. They were already covered by the blood of that whatever the sacrifice was at that time. Then they went and cleansed themselves, and then they get into the altar of incense. This would be akin to offering a sacrifice of praise. So when we think of that, this sacrifice of praise is no different than us today offering a praise to the Lord. It really goes back to that same idea. This would be like us offering a incense sacrifice on the altar of incense. This is something that should be, that incense was, it was not a cheap thing. It was something that was costly. It was something that was important to the one offering it. So we can see this parallel of our praise. The praise that we give, it should be something that is costly. It should be something that is important to us. We see here that we're supposed to continually, what does it say? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. My wife and I were just talking about this afternoon, how I believe that a good indication, a good thermometer of our spiritual walk is how you sing in church. Not how well you sing in church, but how you sing. Do you stand there and just kind of, you know, hold your hymnal? Praise the Lord, come on. You know, and you're just standing there like, whatever. Why are we even doing this? Or do you stand there and say, hey, I'm going to sing out. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to sing out to the Lord. What is that? The last song we sang, Oh, say what I'm glad. There is a song in my heart today, something I've never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. That's always so hard. So I quote a song, and I can never remember the second line, but I got it. But when we sing that song, it's like, oh, say, but I'm glad. You know, and you just kind of, oh, when's the song going to be over? Is it, hey, oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come. My cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. I believe, as I said, that the thermometer of how our spiritual walk is. What says the walk with God is the thermostat that sets it. You can set it at whatever temp, 70, 65, you can set it wherever. That's your walk with God. But the thermometer, when you stick in and say, hey, how hot or warm or how cold is this spiritual walk? I believe that is how you sing out in church. That walk with God, that praise that you have in your heart. I've said often that praise is an attitude that results in actions. Too many times, and I know I've said this before, you folks have probably all heard it, but too many times we look at praise as, so-and-so is singing, and so they're praising God. And that is true. That is praise. But true praise and true worship comes from our heart that overflows into our actions. Mm-hmm. That is a way that we live. What does it say? We need to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Not just on Sunday when we're in church singing two or three songs. Not just on the different services on Sunday or on Wednesday when we're all together. I sing out. But do we have that sacrifice of praise? And I'm not saying you have to constantly be singing out all the time, but it's a good practice to be in. Mm-hmm. It's a good practice to just all of a sudden, hey, there's a song on my heart, and you start singing. You don't have to belt it out. You can sing it to yourself. Just sing a couple lines of it in your head, and that'll help your attitude. I can truly say that'll help lift your spirit. And when you offer that sacrifice of praise, it kind of changes your outlook. When you're singing a song to the Lord about the Lord, that really helps your outlook on life, and it truly does help you. That's why it's very important that we keep on doing those things. When we don't know all these things that are going to happen, when we look at this list of things, there's no difficult things. I think we all know that we're supposed to love each other, and we're supposed to love God, and we're supposed to love the church. And I think we all know that we're supposed to lean on Christ, not lean on the world. And I think we all know that it's okay to say, hey, so-and-so is a spiritual leader, and I want to emulate them in whatever way. And I think we all know that we're supposed to keep working for God. We're supposed to keep doing things for God. And I truly believe that we all know that we're supposed to keep praising God and lifting our voice to Him. But the fact is that when things get difficult and when things are rough or are hard for us, these are the things that too many times we see kind of slip away. That's why it's important for us to make sure that we keep on doing them. When things are hard, it's easy to say, to kind of stop loving people, stop reaching out to people, and stop loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, oh, I'm having a bad day. I don't care if everyone knows it, you know. And we kind of have that attitude of well, if I'm having a bad day, what makes a difference if everyone else is, because I'm so mean to them or whatever. But the fact is, we need to love each other. We need to. I remember when I was younger, if we had a bad day in school or something like that, we would come home, and if we were in a bad attitude, Dad would say, if we were being mean to Mom or Dad or something like that, Dad would say, if I had a bad day at work, would you want me to come home and be mean to you? He's like, well, no, because Dad being mean to me usually meant I was getting spanked or something. But we need to make sure that we're still loving our families, and we need to make sure that we're loving the lost and reaching out to them and trying to help them, loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. How important it is for us to have that camaraderie of church. I know I said it at the beginning, but if we don't love each other, who's gonna? If we don't help each other, if we don't pray for each other, who's going to? And we need to keep loving, and so often it's easy for us to stop loving. It's so easy for us to look to something else. Say, oh, I'm leaning on Christ, but things are really hard. Things are really tough right now. If I keep leaning on Christ, will all these things happen? Will the bills get paid? Will all our needs be met? And the fact is, we can't stop leaning on Christ. When things are tough, that's when we need to make sure that we are right where we're supposed to be with Christ. Our walk with God is good. When things get tough, we need to make sure that we keep on doing what we're supposed to be doing, keep on laboring for God. How often have we seen things get either too hard or too good even sometimes, and people stop coming to church? Things get too hard, and so they have to, whatever it may be, do different things with their job, or, I'm struggling with something, or they'll say, Sunday's my only day off because things are hard, they're working extra, and they fall out of church. But maybe on the other hand, we've also seen where they got things were so good, the Lord was blessing them, and then Sunday was their day off then. And they stop coming to church because the Lord blessed them, and they have a good job, and so they're working extra, and so they stop coming to church then.
When things are, so we need to make sure that we keep working for God when things are too, when things get tough and when things are too good. When things are really good, it's also easy to stop working for God. Sometimes the Lord has to bring those afflictions into our lives to bring us back to Him. And then we kind of do the children of Israel circle, you know, where they sinned and they were taken captive, and then they prayed to God and they were released. And then things were good, so they sinned again and they were taken captive and they prayed and released. And so they just did that circle. And too many times we as Christians do that same thing. What I'm trying to encourage you tonight is to stay at the one spot where you're not in captivity, where you're living for God, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. It doesn't matter if it's a tough time, it's an easy time. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to keep working for God. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep leaning on Christ. I'm going to keep laboring for Him. And I'm going to keep lifting my voice in praise to Him. I'm going to keep praising Him, offering the sacrifice of praise continually to Him. Even when things are tough, we need to keep doing those things. Even when things are very good, we need to keep doing these things. We need to just keep on keeping on. Keep on loving. Keep on leaning. Keep on following biblical leaders. Keep on laboring for God. And keep on lifting our voices in praise to God. Praising Him, thanking Him for all He's done. I believe that when we're thanking God and praising Him, it's easy for us to keep working for Him. It's easy for us to keep leaning on Him. It's easy for us to keep loving Him as well. Right. We need to make sure that we keep doing these things in the time that remains. This will make us a more effective witness. This will make us a better member of a church. This will make us a better servant of Christ. If we just keep on keeping on in the time that remains.